Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hit me!
It's time for HBCU Play.
Welcome to HBCU Play. LaRisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. Time for another episode of one of your favorite HBCU shows. Of course, HBCU Play. And we're going to begin with...
Here's this week's starting lineup on HBCU Play.
The starting lineup.
Hey, the starting lineup. It is time for those postseason events for football players. And HBCU players are included. They are there. And we'll start at one that's at the very, very top, one who's been a friend of our show.
Yes, Amir Hall. So he was able to actually participate in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl that happened last weekend. And there has been a question, or I formed a question for you, Mr. Crenshaw, because we didn't see much action from him during this bowl game. So I want to pose the question to you. Do you think Hall was snubbed at this All-Star game because he literally only had 7 plays and threw just 1 pass in the NFLPA Collegiate Bowl that happened in Pasadena? Do you think he was snubbed?
Yep. Yes, I do. And only to get a chance to attempt 1 pass, I think, is not a chance for him to really show what he can do in the game. But my but is this. The All-Star games for the college players are a week worth of activity. They go through a week of workouts and practice and in front of the eyes of the coaches. And from what I read and what I've been told, Amir showed himself extremely well during that week. I know it's always the question when it comes to evaluating talent, what's more important, what happens in the games or what happens when you're working out in front of the scouts. I for one, have always had this debate as to what means more, the games you play on Saturdays or the combines running in shorts and T-shirts for fat dudes with stopwatches. And some people seem to make you want to think that the fat dudes and stopwatches mean more than what you do on a game on a Saturday afternoon. I've had the biggest problem with that. Uh-huh. But in this case for Amir, we know what he can do in games. He seemed to show well for the fat dudes with the stopwatches. Mm-hmm. And so to me, that's what they're going to take home and remember more so than, and hopefully what they saw will rule favorable for him going forward, especially when it comes to his pro day and working out for the draft. We all know what Amir is capable of doing.
We sure do.
And the fact that he got in a good week's worth of work in front of those folks, the NFL players, you know, scouts, and they get a chance to ask you questions and really get to know you. To me, he made the most out of the week as far as that goes. Would have loved to have seen him do more in the game.
Definitely.
But being out there in that environment for the week, I believe he worked very well. And right now he's preparing, getting ready for his pro day.
He is getting ready for his pro day. And I want to remind everybody that Hall led all of Division II with over 4,000 passing yards his senior year and set career marks in the CIAA for passing yards and passing touchdowns. And he was also prominently featured on a video on the NFLPA website days prior to the game. So, like you said, a lot of things that he's done will be very beneficial regardless of him not being able to show his full action in the game on Saturday.
And also this week, the Power News Radio Network, PNRN, Black College All-America team, made him their Offensive Player of the Year. And that's another award that he's picked up a lot of awards all over the place, but that's the latest one that Amir Hall has picked up.
Moving on to another event that has already taken place, the East-West Shrine Game. And we saw that a former Morgan State football player had a chance to showcase his skills in front of NFL personnel as well, Joshua Miles. That game was last weekend in Florida at Tropicana Field, and he became the first player in program history to actually compete in that game, in the East-West Shrine Game. So congratulations to him for having that opportunity, especially since he had to miss the entire 2017 season due to being ruled academically ineligible, but he bounced back in a major way in 2018 and then had this opportunity come alive for him as well. So congratulations to Joshua Miles on being able to suit up and participate in the East-West Shrine Game.
Yep, now there's a big game coming up this week. Mobile, Alabama, the site of the annual Senior Bowl. Make that the Reese's Senior Bowl. And HBCUs will be a representative by Titus Howard. He's an offensive lineman from Alabama State. Didn't have to go far from Montgomery down to Mobile for this game. And he's having a great week of work. He's put on 11 pounds at the conclusion of the 218 season. So he came into camp for this game at 6'6", 322 practice field. And he's like he's doing well in the practice and the workout. So for the Senior Bowl, of course, is probably the biggest and most prestigious of the bowl games that the college players get to play before they go on to their pro days and the combine. He's working out, of course, being coached by NFL coaches and NFL scouts from all the teams are there to watch. And, of course, I do believe this is the first paycheck the guys get. They actually get a check.
Really?
For coming to play in the Senior Bowl, right? And they probably get some Reese's, Lee. Are you a fan of Reese's? Do you like Reese's?
Yes.
Yeah. They're the sponsor for this event. And I think, yeah, the Senior Bowl, those players, they're done playing college ball, so they get a check for coming to play that game. So good luck to him. Watch for the game this weekend. Watch for Titus Howard from Alabama State.
So I want to now take it to a person that we should all be familiar with because he led Grambling to win the 2016 Celebration Bowl, helped the team earn that national title, Devontae Kincaid. So the former Grambling State star has been announced that he has signed with the Tiger Cats of the CFL. That announcement was made on Tuesday. We know that he is very familiar with his organization as he joined the team, being a member of their practice squad last fall. But now he's hoping to really make his presence known on that team. Again, they did announce that he has signed with the Hamilton Tiger Cats of the CFL. So hopefully he can get things rolling in his professional career.
Hope so. That young man certainly deserves it. Those of us who covered that Grambling team that he played on and covered the Celebration Bowl know what he can do when he gets on the field. And we're just looking forward to seeing him get a chance to showcase for a full season and hopefully lands a home playing there in the CFL. We get to see him maybe play in the championship game there at some point. But congratulations once again. Moving on, how about someone else we saw in Celebration Bowls past who's getting a chance to play among the league's best this week? Talking about Tariq Cohen from North Carolina A&T and the Chicago Bears. He is in the Pro Bowl this week. And talk about just a remarkable story. A young man from North Carolina A&T who had trouble, as we know now, getting a lot of colleges to even look at his video reel from high school to recruit him. HBCU gave him that opportunity, and he goes to North Carolina A&T. Outstanding career. We know what he did here in the Celebration Bowl. Had the video clip of him doing the backflip, catching the ball that went viral. And then here he is with the Chicago Bears. And he's become that extra thing, that X factor in the Bears offense. I mean, he's a really, not a secret weapon anymore for them, but he's an amazing player for them. He finished the season with 444 yards rushing, 3 touchdowns. He had 71 catches for over 700 yards and 5 more touchdowns, and plus, kick returns and all. He does it all for this team. He's an amazing player, and we're very excited and very proud that he's representing HBCUs at the Pro Bowl this week.
And he's also become a fan favorite, I'd like to say, because if you follow him on Instagram and other social media, he's always doing like a live on Instagram. And I promise every time I get on there to see, what he's talking about on his live, he has like over 2,000 people watching his live like at a time. It's crazy. He's obviously become a fan favorite up there in Chicago as well.
So we'll look for him this weekend playing down in Orlando at the Pro Bowl and watch for Tariq and see what he does. He does something. He shows off a little bit. Be a little amazing for the folks back in North Carolina A&T.
I think he will. But now we have to talk about his alma mater, North Carolina A&T. They have been in the news yet again for what they have done for the 2020 football season. They already have a game set. And this game is set with North Dakota State. Here are the details regarding that game. So, again, this is for September 19th, 2020. The Aggies will travel to Fargo to take on North Dakota State up there against the Bison. This is basically like a one-way deal here. They are going straight to them only to play this game this one time, and that's going to be it.
I got so many problems with this, LaRisha. I have so many problems with this. I mean, I'm glad that they're playing North Dakota State. And I think North Dakota State was probably as anxious to play A&T as A&T was to get a chance to play with them.
So you're looking at this as a bad thing.
I don't think it's a good thing that they're playing. I just think it's a bad thing they're going up there. And yeah, they're getting a check. They are going to get some. They are going to get a check for going up there. I don't know what kind of check you're going to get from another FCS program, but they're going to go up there. The other thing is, I don't know how many A&T fans are going to
travel that
far. That's not exactly the quickest and easiest place to get to.
You're right.
If I'm in North Carolina A&T, and you know, by no means am I attached to the athletic department that can tell Earl Hilton, the athletic director, what he should or should not do. But I would still be fighting for a neutral site for this game. I would want to play this game in Louisville. Meet me in Louisville. You know, meet me in Cincinnati. Meet me in Indianapolis. Meet me in St. Louis. But give me a place where I have a chance where my fan base can come and be at this great game and get a sponsor, and we both can rip some checks.
Well, you know, Earl Hamilton actually said in an article that I read on the Greensboro News and Record, he said that this is a revenue-producing game, but that's not what this game is about. It's about getting the kids to face the best. He wanted them to face one of the top teams in the nation. And so that's why he agreed to this. That's why he wanted to do this. So I don't think location was a big factor for him, or that's what it seems like from me, from just the statements that were put out there in articles that I read. I'm not saying that he didn't necessarily consider it, but I think for him, the biggest thing was just being able to get this game, because he said they were talking about this, or they've been talking about this for some time now. And to actually get it, I think that may have been more so of the ultimate goal than anything else.
Yeah, I think, you know, if it's going to just be one time, meet me on a neutral field. They played Jacksonville State to kick off this past season. They did it on a neutral field down in Montgomery, Alabama, and it worked fine. You know, you had an underwriter, a sponsor, everybody rips a check. I just concerned about not many A&T fans would be able to make that trip all the way up to Fargo, North Dakota. And nobody got any relatives they're going to visit while they're up there. I don't know anybody in Fargo, North Dakota. But anyway, coming season. That's in 2020. A lot of people will debate it between now and then, but we see what happens. It is a game that I do want to see played, but I didn't want to see it just be a one-way deal.
Yeah, we know that the Bison have won 7 of the last 8 NCAA national titles in FCS, including the last 2 in a row. And the Aggies have defeated FBS teams like Kent State, UNC Charlotte, and East Carolina. So I think it'll be a good matchup for them, and I am excited for this opportunity. But coming up, Mr. Crenshaw, we have a very special guest.
Very special guest. We're going to have Clark Atlanta basketball coach George Lynch is going to join us. Got a big game coming up at his place this weekend. Always a packed house for it. We're going to talk about that when we continue rolling on. This is Sam and LaRisha here in Atlanta on HBCU Play.
Time out. There's more coming your way on HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. When you want to know what's happening in HBCU sports, you need to get the info straight from the source.
Pay attention, son. This is for your own good.
Here's LaRisha Harris and Sam Crenshaw with more of HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back, everyone, to HBCU Play. Sam Crenshaw along with LaRisha Harris with you here from Atlanta. And now it's time to go to our segment we like to call Straight from the Source. And we're very pleased to be joined by a very special guest this week. Joining us is the new men's head basketball coach at Clark Atlanta University, George Lynch. I don't know if you still call you new because you're midway through your first season, coach, but welcome to HBCU Play.
Well, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. Thoughts about coming to this city? And coming to Clark Atlanta, and your first impressions when you felt like you had a chance to come to work and work there and be a part of this program?
Well, it was I was a part of the assistant coaches program. At the same time, I was assistant coach at SMU with Coach Larry Brown, and then under Tim Jankovic. So I always knew that I wanted to be a coach. Wanted to see how far my career would take me as a coach. So learning from those two guys was definitely a blessing on how to run a program and watch them hands-on, behind the scenes, decisions that they had to make. It couldn't have learned from two better people.
So, Coach, let's just get right to it. We were talking off the air briefly about what you should expect getting ready for this big game that you have. Your Panthers going up against Morehouse College on Saturday on the campus of Clark Atlanta University. You said you're trying to get your players' mindset right. What has the vibe been like for you this week? What have the guys been saying about it? What have you heard about this game? I mean, what has it been like?
You know, we have returning players who actually played in the game last year. We have three guys, three seniors. So they know what it's about. But they've never been in the game where they were starters. So we talked about that a little bit. We talked about playing within themselves, stand in the moment, you know, don't get caught up in the game, hype around the game. Try to stick to your same routine as far as your preparation before any other game. So we know it's bigger than any other game that we've had before, but we're trying to keep that same approach for as far as preparation going into each and every game.
Coach, thoughts about the, not just this rivalry, but the way you've helped develop this team. You mentioned Coach Larry Brown, and for those of us who know you and know your background, you played at University of North Carolina for Coach Dean Smith. Those are some tremendous people to draw from when it comes to coaching. What from the things you learned from those people do you bring with you to this program? You're at the Division II level, you're at an HBCU. Obviously, you don't have all the whistles and bells that those coaches have, but what from those coaches do you bring with you?
Well, from Coach Smith, you know, he's a Hall of Fame legend. So what I tried to do, you know, I watched him and played for him for 4 years, so I had a real good seat on how he handled his players, his approach towards the game, his practice preparation. So I go into practice and I try to teach our guys anything that could happen in a game. So during a game situation, I'm not standing up on the sideline, you know, trying to coach. So I try to, you know, hopefully our guys will respond to any situation. They've been prepared, you know, as far as what takes place in between the lines. So I try to take that approach. You know, Coach Smith was real calm on the sideline, and that's because we spent hours and hours in practice going over different game situations. So, you know, after watching film of Morehouse, watching the way they play, we should be prepared. Now, whether the guys handle it, you know, the way they should handle it, that's a different story. But, you know, it's a rivalry game. It's going to be some emotions, and I'm going to try to keep my guys' emotions at even keel so they can perform on the court.
Talk about this season. You're coming in after a very successful tenure, Coach Darrell Walker, another guy, NBA player, who's been able to come in and have that background, come in and have a lot of success. You talk about having some seniors, but what are some things you want to impress upon the team that kind of made it your own from the start? Because, you know, it seems like, you know, the schedule was difficult early on, and now you guys have caught some momentum, and I think you won your last five or your last seven. But thoughts about early on.
Yes. You know, I want to continue. You know, next year, Coach Scott and I, my assistant, you know, we want to schedule some D1 games so the guys get a feel for what it's like to compete against the D1 players. We take that same approach as NBA practice or a Division I practice because that's all I know. So I don't expect anything less from our guys because we're D2. Of course, the resources are not, you know, what it would be at a SMU or North Carolina or any other D1 school. So we hopefully next year we'll get some money games to improve the facilities around here and give these guys an experience that they can always look at and maybe come back someday and pay it forward to the next generation of CAU players.
Talk about the opportunity to be here in Atlanta and this city and this community. And we talked to athletics. There's so many other things for people to do and get into when it comes to athletics and teams of support and sports in this town. But the fact that, you know, people do have paid attention in recent years to basketball in the AU Center because both the programs there, Clark Atlanta and Morehouse, have been very successful programs. And the fact that when you put it all together, you get a chance for the community to come in and sample not just basketball, but really the whole campus and what's going on with the school.
Yes, during my playing days in the NBA, I used to hear about guys coming back to Morris Brown, Morehouse, Clark, and Spelman. I never got an opportunity to come back, but, you know, I never knew how close the three campuses were. And, you know, they talk about the rivalry between Duke and Carolina and the ACC being, you know, 15 miles apart. But this is really a rivalry that you can't avoid. I mean, this rivalry is every day on campus. You know, the guys share the promenade together in the library. So you really bump into these guys along campuses, you know, through your daily walk to class. So the rivalry is definitely there. I'm just glad to have an opportunity to be a part of it. Atlanta is a great sports town, you know, with the Hawks, the Falcons, the Braves, and hopefully, you know, me being the coach after Darryl Walker can continue the success that he had the last 2 years here.
Well, Coach, tell you what, we got another segment we want to go to, the playbook. We're going to get a little more into your season and what you're hoping for going ahead, because I know you know all about tournament time. It's a very exciting time and a special time for you. You got a few more minutes you can hang on with us?
Sure.
Okay, hang on, Liz. Head Coach George Lynch from Clark Atlanta University with Sam and Larisha here on HBCU Play. We'll be right back.
Time out. Stay where you are for more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We're breaking down the X's and O's.
That's precise.
In the playbook.
That's a precise breakdown.
On HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And if you're just joining us, we are going to continue our conversation with the head basketball coach for the Clark Atlanta University Panthers, Mr. George Lynch. He has taken over for Darryl Walker in the midst of his season now. Of course, getting ready for that big rival game this weekend, going up against Morehouse. We talked a little bit about that. I'm sure we'll touch on that some more. But, Coach, I want to ask you about your players now. You talked about some guys who are returning, some vets on the team, upperclassmen, I should say. Who would you say has really stepped up to the plate for you and kind of taken over that leadership role on the team?
I think all three, Shevlin Henry, Austin Donaldson, and Jalen Mitchell has all three at some point shown a great amount of leadership. Whether it's, you know, practice preparations, performing in the game, or, you know, challenging, you know, their teammates to do better on the court. And we try to stress it, when it comes from a coaching staff, you know, they hear it, but when it comes from their peers, it puts a little bit more pressure on the guys to step up and prepare mentally for a game.
Coach, going forward now, thoughts about your team and what you want to see? You seeing most of the teams in the conference, or are you getting set to see them for a second time? The calendar is about to go from January to February. What are some things you want to see from your team now as you come down the stretch of this regular season?
Well, putting the schedule together, we all wanted to prepare for tournament time. Even our first few games, you know, we took some tough lumps. We went down to Miami and played Lynn and Barry, and then followed up in New Orleans with Xavier. And all that was to prepare us for tournament time and the regular season schedule. Going into next year, we want to make sure that we play a tough schedule that prepares us for conference play. And I think the guys, has responded. We started out probably 0-5 because of that tough schedule, but I think, you know, the wins that we've had lately has, kind of toughened our skin and prepared us to be able to play back-to-back games in the tournament setting and be ready to perform.
spending time with Coach George Lynch, head coach of Clark Atlanta University. We're talking about the Panthers and what they've done so far this season as they have their big matchup coming up this Saturday against the Morehouse Tigers at Epps Gymnasium on the Clark Atlanta University campus. Coach, you talk about tournament time. When you think about tournament time, what instantly comes to mind for you? Maybe not so much as a coach, but as a player. But when you think of tournament time, what comes to your mind?
For me, tournament time is, trying to get to championship Sundays. You play a series of – you always plan for that better seed, during the regular season. But, everybody starts over 0-0. And depending on your seed, you'll have to play 3 or 4 games to get to the championship game. And all the things you've learned throughout the course of the season, the good and bad, the ups and downs, that roller coaster ride, hopefully it's prepared you for that one weekend.
Some things that you remember from those times as a player, first of all.
A few things that I remember is, taking we played in the ACC tournament in Charlotte, and we would take that bus ride from Chapel Hill to Charlotte, and you check into the hotel, and, all the media's around, everyone is talking about the ACC tournament, and you go to the press conferences, and you try to answer all the questions with an even keel, but everyone is excited, I think. Guys are more zeroed in as a player right around tournament time. And it's all about basketball. You get your ticket list and your ticket request done and taken care of before you check into the hotels. And you isolate yourself in a room with a video camera and film and shoot arounds. So, I mean, it's a great time, and then as you advance, it gets more exciting. The pressure builds, and you can't ask for anything more as a basketball player.
I can imagine your players at Clark Atlanta probably have a jillion questions for you, considering who you've had as your teammates, who you've had as your coaches, both as the collegiate and the professional level.
We're not going to mention the party. I can ask questions all day.
Not to mention you because you played for the Lakers. What do they ask you about more?
They the guys today, they like to know what type of player Allen Iverson was, Baron Davis. They forget until they see the gray hair that I played with Magic Johnson also. So, I've shared some of the Carolina stories when Mike Jordan and Sam Perkins and all those great players came back and beat us down to a pulp in pickup games. So
that was legendary stuff. That actually happened, huh?
Oh yeah, Mike did not take it easy on us.
I used to always hear about those games.
Yeah, he was, and we were trying to beat him too because I know my 4 years there, he probably only lost one game. And he didn't lose any other game after that. So I'm not for sure, after I left, how many games he lost. But he didn't lose many, even in pickup games.
So how many times has practice been, delayed because of these conversations? I'm sure quite some time.
Yeah, we try to get it all out during film session. Or, I bring it up when I'm trying to explain to a young man about his preparations, towards practice and games. Everyone wants to try and make a little bit of money playing after college. And hopefully some of those guys, if they continue to put the work in, they'll have those opportunities.
So, Coach, what for you has been one of the best moments so far within the season or prior to the season, but in your time here, coming to Atlanta, becoming the coach of Clark Atlanta University over these Panthers, what has been, a very memorable moment or one of your favorite moments so far?
We started the year out struggling, the long bus rides to Miami and playing a tough schedule early. To see the guys continue to work, while we were losing, and now that we're winning, they're continuing to put that extra work in. They seeing the fruits of their labor as players, and hopefully it will continue. We got about seven more regular season games before the tournament, and like I said, we had a great practice yesterday, and just to see the guys respond to me and my coaching staff, and take every bit of advice that we're trying to give them, and put it on the floor.
Coach, you're here in the city. How you getting around town? You're not having trouble on 285, are you?
Man, the traffic is terrible. I need
Los Angeles
helicopter to drop me from Clark to my house. Traffic is so bad. By the time I get the kids, drop them off and carpool in school, I'm sitting in traffic. Should be a 10-minute drive. It turns into a 30-minute drive.
How you compare this traffic to Los Angeles, though? You had bad traffic out in L.A.
That's so true.
Well, at least I was looking at the ocean when I was stuck in traffic in L.A.
You know what? You can't throw that at us, okay? That's not fair, Coach. It's not fair.
I know. I'm sorry.
It is Clark Atlanta against Morehouse coming up this Saturday. Packed house as always. If you plan on going to this game, you better get there early. 6 o'clock game time at the L.S. Epps Gymnasium. Coach George Lynch, good luck to your team, and thanks so much for spending some time with us today on HBCU Play.
All right, thanks for having me.
That is Coach George Lynch. We continue with more Sam and Larisha with HBCU Play. Stay with us.
Time out. We'll be right back with more HBCU Play on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. It's almost game time on HBCU Play. We're getting ready for the kickoff with Larisha Harris.
You are clearly so quick-witted and beautiful.
And Sam Crenshaw.
He's a righteous dude.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Welcome back to HBCU Play. Larisha Harris here alongside me, Sam Crenshaw. And now it's time for the kickoff. But, Mr. Crenshaw, you like to call it what?
The tip-off.
That's because it's full swing, full throttle basketball season. But before we let you know about some games that are taking place this weekend, we want to talk about something that we saw that I think is so exciting. The MEAC and Flow Sports have announced a multi-year streaming partnership. So we know that Flow Sports, they are one of the innovators in live digital sports and original content. Again, they announced a multi-year partnership with the MEAC.
Yes, they have. And, of course, they provide exclusive live on-demand coverage. Nearly 50 events, hoops, track, softball. Of course, the Flow Sports will cover 12 men's regular season basketball games, two women's regular season games, 19 men's and women's tournament games, as well as track, also baseball and softball. That's all coming up as college sports continues to go into the digital age. Even more so, the MEAC is staying right in step with everyone else. If the MEAC stays right in step and on course with everyone else with this deal with Flow Sports.
So moving into some of the games that you can expect to watch this weekend, starting off with some men's hoop action. Benedict at Albany State. Check that out, 3 o'clock, Stretch Internet.
Now, Miles is playing Tuskegee. That's a 3 o'clock game, and that will be on the Tuskegee Digital Network.
North Carolina A&T going up against North Carolina Central.
Ooh, that's
I
always
know
a good one.
That's
going to
be
always.
A, yes,
always.
It's going to be a good one. 4 o'clock, Flow Hoops.
All right, Virginia State right now, and they are on a roll right now. They won 12 in a row. They're playing at Elizabeth City at 4 o'clock. That will be on the CIAA Sports Network.
Another good one, I think. Bowie State and Shawan, 4 o'clock, and that's going to be on Shawan Sports Network.
Moving down to the SWAC, Jackson State is at Grambling, a 5 o'clock start. That's on Grambling State YouTube.
Alcorn State at Alabama State, 5 p.m., SWAC All Access.
Campbell playing at Hamptons, a 6 o'clock start on ESPN+.
And Tennessee State at Murray State, 8 o'clock, ESPN+.
On the women's side, there's action there as well. We're also talking about Tuskegee at Miles, a 1 o'clock start there on Tuskegee Digital.
FAMU at Coppin State, 2 o'clock, and you can catch that one on Ustream.
Just like the men, Virginia State, Elizabeth City State, 2 o'clock start, though. That's also on the CIAA Network.
And another doubleheader here, Bowie State, Shawan, 2 o'clock, and you can catch that one on Shawan Sports Network.
One more game from the CIAA, Winston-Salem State at Fayetteville State, 2 o'clock start, FSU Bronco Sports Network.
Jackson State at Grambling State, 3 o'clock, Grambling State YouTube.
Also a doubleheader with Alcorn and Alabama State, 3 p.m. for the women, and that is on the SWAC All Access.
Gardner Webb at Hampton, and you can catch that one 4 o'clock ESPN+.
Lamont Owen, the Magicians at Central State, the Central State women always strong, 5:30 to start time, SIAC sidearm stream.
And another doubleheader for you, Tennessee State at Murray State. We told you the guys start at 8 on ESPN+. The women, they start things off, though, 6 o'clock ESPN+.
And Larisha, before we go, one more item. How about Albany State Athletics receives the NCAA Division II Strategic Alliance matching grant? Now, what that does is it's grant funds a full-time mid- to senior-level athletics administration position for a five-year period from 2018 through 2023. And this is big because it gives opportunities for a school like Albany State to start bringing people along the path toward administration in athletics. Your future athletic directors, your future maybe conference commissioners will be created for this. So Albany State's receipt of the grant led to the creation of an athletics business manager position. That is someone who will be getting started on the way. Who knows? Maybe a future SIAC commissioner. Don't want to make Commissioner Gregory more nervous. But, I mean, that's what happens when you're allowed to do that. So tip of the cap of the NCAA for doing that and for choosing Albany State University in Albany, Georgia.
If you missed any part of today's episode, just head over to WAOK.com. There, our episode is posted to the website right now, ready for you to listen to. So make sure you check that out. And also, if you miss any of our previous shows, check those out as well. They are all there underneath HBCU Play. We thank you for joining us this week for another episode. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Follow WAOK on Twitter is simply WAOK. I'm Larisha underscore H. That's LERICIA underscore H.
And I'm at Sam Crenshaw 23 on Twitter. That's a wrap for this week's show. Thanks so much for joining us here in Atlanta. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone. And join us here next week for HBCU Play.
Thanks for listening to HBCU Play. HBCU Play.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.